And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan Burns of GopherDigest.com. And welcome to the start of fall camp, everyone. We made it.
I don't know what it was, if it's just like the weather may be turning. It looks like it's going to get a little warmer, but obviously something's changed, Ryan, and obviously football is here.
It is, and it's a beautiful time of year. You know, I've been at practice the last 4 days, and it's nice to hear the sounds of whistles, you know, shoulder pads hitting one another, coaches yelling at kids. It's the favorite time of year. So,
great. You know,
yep.
So let's focus tonight, obviously, on offense, because that seems to be where most people are interested. They kind of have some idea of what to expect on defense, but you know, when you lose a guy like David Cobb and another guy like Max Williams, and coming off the year that Mitchell Leidner had last year, where it was inconsistent. You know, he led the team to a lot of wins, but it didn't necessarily equal, you know, awesome statistics. So let's start especially at quarterback, because that's what people are primarily concerned about.
Yeah, we can start at quarterback. And I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant / tangent here, since I'll start with, you know, the quarterback, Mitch Leidner. You know, it's for the people who are listening that are expecting, you know, what I want to say is here is people need to really hone in on what their expectations for Mitch Leidner are. If your expectations for him are to become the next Tom Brady, the next Aaron Rodgers, you know, the next Andrew Luck, I don't understand why people think that Mitch needs to be that. You know, for the people who think that he's capable of doing that, he very well, you know, may be. But I think what fans really need to do is temper their expectations for him to just be, you know, a game manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially in a run-first offense like Minnesota. I mean, if he can be like, you know, trying to compare him to an NFL guy like a Matt Castle, you know, a guy who comes in, manages the game, you know, what he did for the Vikings with a running game, it's just, I think if he can do that, I think this Gopher team will have no problems getting to 8-9 wins. You know, but if he continues to, you know, just be inconsistent and you don't know what you're going to get from game to game, like it seemed like there was a lot last year where there'd be games like the Iowa game, 75% of his passes complete, 3-4 touchdowns, no interceptions. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, you know, 25-30% completion percentage against Wisconsin, and the Gophers lose chance to go to the Big Ten championship game. Mm-hmm. So what I want to get across here before I start talking about Mitch in the fall camp here is that fans just need to, you know, as much as, you know, there's a lot of disdain for him, and, you know, it seems like every Gopher quarterback, you know, fans really don't appreciate much, but you just need to temper your expectations and just accept that Mitch isn't going to be the next Tom Brady more than likely, but if he can become the next Matt Castle, you know, the next Alex Smith type, where, again, he's not going to take over a game, but if he can do the things to lead this team into scoring position and lead on other players, you know, at the skill positions, this Gopher team will be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sorry to go off on a little bit of a tangent there, but it seems like, you know, I get a lot of, you know, feedback on Gopher Digest and on Twitter that, you know, fans just hate Mitch Leidner. Again, you're more than welcome to do so, but again, if you're going to hate him, just accept that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the next 2 years, and you just have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now that that's out of the way, how is Mitch looking? How is he looking? Well, through 4 days, again, small sample size. It's, you know, not another, as he's got 3-4 more weeks here, but he's been up and down. You know, the first couple of days, he was pretty inconsistent. I mean, he'd go through times where he'd really get into rhythm, you know, hit 7-8 passes in a row, you know, short to intermediate game. And where Mitch has really thrived so far in this fall camp is the deep ball. Again, for as many fans who think all I do is look through, you know, gold and maroon glasses and drink the Kool-Aid, you can ask Joe Christensen, ask, you know, Will Henry of 24/7, ask, you know, Andy Grater. You know, Mitch hasn't missed on a deep ball yet so far in camp. He has been on the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from whether it's one-on-ones or the team drill, if Mitch has time in the pocket, and he sees a guy downfield that he thinks he can make the throw to, you know, that's not, you know, in double coverage. He's made the throw. The ball is wobbly, but it gets there, and it's in the right spot, and the receiver catches it, and it's a big game. So, you know, today was his best day, as we're recording this on Monday night. You know, today was his best day. He didn't throw an interception that I remember anyway. He hit everything in the short intermediate game. You know, he was accurate there. His feet were set. He wasn't making bad decisions. You know, he made a couple of very good throws rolling to his right, you know, rolling to his left, and his deep ball was on point. Again, I'm going to throw this in there. Mitch's ball, it is not pretty. I mean, it's not a, you know, tight spiral. It's not, I mean, it has a wobble to it. And again, to me, you know, as someone who's evaluating that, obviously it's not pretty, but if it's in the right spot and if it's at the right time and the receiver can make a play on it, who cares? Yes, you know, the quarterback position is supposed to be a pretty position and you're supposed to enjoy the game there. And Mitch's ball isn't that, but it doesn't matter to me because if the ball's there, at the right place, at the right time, in a position where the receiver can make a play on the ball, that's all you can ask for out of your quarterback. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I hear you. So obviously the biggest thing with being a quarterback is timing, right? So it's timing on getting the ball. It's timing as windows open, as windows close, right? Because guys are going to close on balls, especially when there's zone defense. You know, it's all timing, and you're right. It doesn't matter if your ball's pretty or it's not. If it's there, guy's either going to make a play or he's not going to make a play. You have to put him in a position to be able to make a play. And that's all that we're really asking of Mitch, right? Is to make good decisions, cut down the number of turnovers. Because let's just take the TCU game, right? Three interceptions. I don't recall exactly because interceptions are kind of an unfair statistic. Sometimes they're drop balls by receivers that aren't actually interceptions. But so the stat line says, you know, three interceptions and one fumble. The place he really needs to improve is those lost fumbles, right? To me, those are the kind of things that he can control those better. He just dropped a couple of those balls straight up last year.
Yeah, and obviously that, you know, with Mitch and ball security, and there were awfully too many times last year where, you know, he'd sit in the pocket too long and, you know, he wouldn't move and he wouldn't throw it away, and that's where he'd get hit with these strip sacks and fumbles. But I can say for the first time since I've covered Mitch Latter, since he's been here as a freshman, that I've seen him actually throw balls away in practice on consecutive days. I can say that has never happened before. So, I mean, I'm taking that as a positive. I mean, it only took, you know, 2 or 3 years for that to happen, but it's happened. You know, he's starting to feel, you know, if there's nothing there for 4 seconds or whatever it is, he's, you know, he rolls out, throws it away.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's basically live to play another play.
Exactly. Live to see another day and don't take the bad sack. Mm-hmm. So it's encouraging there. Again, you know, it comes down to, you know, some offensive line play. If, you know, the tackles where I'm a little bit concerned right now with some injury and depth issues. But if this offensive line can give him time and, you know, these young receivers can find, you know, some open space and get separation, which, again, is a huge part of why Mitch sat in the freaking pocket for so long, is because the receivers couldn't, you know, weren't open. And,
right.
You know, and then he's holding the ball for too long and the protection breaks down because the offensive line can't be counted on for more than 4 or 5 seconds, as they shouldn't be. But to evaluate Mitch so far, you know, so we can move on to a different subject here. But, you know, he's been up and down. You know, today was his best day. He was consistent today. And, you know, I hope I see that tomorrow, and I hope that carries over into this weekend's scrimmage. And I hope that he can put something together in that scrimmage when there's actually, you know, thousands of fans watching, there's bullets flying, you know, because obviously the Gophers do go in, you know, live in their team park.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, typically in these scrimmages, you know, whether it's the spring game or the fall scrimmage, you know, in these past few years, you know, what I've seen in practice, you know, leading up to that, hasn't always translated over into the scrimmages, which is unfortunate. As, you know, once the bullets fly, he gets a little nervous or whatever it is. You know, I think, you know, through 4 days, he may be pressing a little bit just because he knows that there's so much riding on him, which there is. I mean, there's no denying that, as I think Mitch Leidner is the key to this Gophers, you know, whether the, Mitch is the key, whether, you know, this Gopher team gets to 6 wins or they get to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, I mean, I, again, this Gopher defense is going to get 6 wins.
Sure.
So Mitch is the key for those next 2 to 4. You know, it's just whether he takes that next step forward to being consistent. Mm-hmm. Again, the ball's not going to be pretty, and I understand fans are not going to like that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to replace him unless he's injured. So if he can, you know, continue to make good decisions, you know, continue to throw the ball away when there's not a play there, you know, to be made and live another day.
Mm-hmm.
If he can continue to hit on these timing routes, and if he can continue to hit on this play-action deep ball, which, again, he's been money on so far in camp, and I hope that continues going forward here. So it's been up and down, but, you know, maybe – you know, I'm hoping he can stay consistent because that'll be the key. But, you know, I haven't seen two consistent days back-to-back, so hopefully Mitch can put one together tomorrow. And I have some good things, you know, to write about going into this weekend, but we'll see.
All right, so just to finish our quarterback, Streveler second, and then I think that's fairly obvious, right? There's been some talk about him playing wide receiver. But then who follows up Streveler in that depth chart?
Yeah, so Chris has been the number two quarterback through camp here. As, you know, Coach Kill had said in his press conference, you know, Streveler got some work at receiver throughout the summer. He has gotten work at wide receiver here, but only in the individual part of the drills. So before the team goes to like 11-on-11 type situations, and they're just, you know, in individual drills with their position coaches, and then the wide receivers are together by themselves, Streveler will get some reps there, but once they've translated that over into the team drills, he hasn't got any reps there. So if anybody was, you know, wondering about that, you know, Chris has primarily been, you know, just the number two wide receiver. You know, his ball is still wonky as well. He's got a little bit of a different throwing motion. You know, he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been outstanding so far either. It's been up and down for him. You know, he's made some good plays and he's made some decisions where it's been, you know, I'm not really entirely sure what you saw there. But the guy who's, you know, pushing him the most, I would say, is probably Jock Pera.
Okay.
He is, you know, primarily still the fourth quarterback right now.
Sure.
He hasn't got a lot of reps with the twos. I mean, that's something I've been, you know, writing about daily here on Gopher Digest is, you know, I wish he would get, you know, reps with, you know, just a series or the 5 or 6 plays with the twos because, you know, as great as Jock Pera, I can already imagine the tweets and the threads that are going to be up on Gopher Digest this weekend if, you know, Jock Pera does well against the twos and threes. But, I mean, there's a difference about, you know, throwing against Alex Starks, who's a walk-on safety, and there's a difference between throwing at Boddy Calhoun and Eric Murray every game, which, you know, Leidner has to do against the ones.
Right.
This secondary, which, you know, has a lot of hype to it, has lived up to the Bills so far. And if you have 3 out of the 4 going to the NFL and then you're throwing against true freshmen with the threes and fours, I mean, there's such a huge, you know, gap in talent level that I would like to see, you know, as well as Jock has done against, like, the threes, I want to see him do it against the ones and twos. I mean, it's as simple as that, but, you know, Jock has done well. He's done well. He's done in the – most of his throws have gone to the check down into the, you know, the short to intermediate receiver. Haven't seen a lot from him on the deep ball besides in one-on-ones. But if there's a guy that is going to push him, it's probably going to be Jock. You know, even though, you know, true freshman Demery Croft is he's done well for a true freshman. I mean, he's through 4 days of camp. I mean, he's got the mindset and mentality of a Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not comparing him to Teddy. I hope he turns out as good as he does. But what I mean by that is he's so flatline. I mean, nothing seems to phase this kid. I mean, there's freshmen on the team right now where it seems like they're a little bit overwhelmed, you know, just adjusting to the college game. And, you know, it's such a polar opposite for Demery. I mean, there's times where he'll make a great play and he's just even keel. There's times he'll make a bad throw. He's even keel. It's just he's even after every throw, and it's good to see that kind of a mentality out of a quarterback, knowing he's never going to get too high and he's never going to get too low. And I think, you know, Kill's talked about it after practice here about just how his mentality is going to benefit him down the line here as, you know, he's going to be pressed into action here in, I think, you know, 1 or 2 years or whatever it is. But I think the staff would really like to redshirt Demery at all costs. So if I had to put a depth chart on the quarterback position so far, it's going to be Mitch number one. I don't see that changing at all. Unless, you know, an injury happens to Mitch, which would be very unfortunate. But maybe there's a little bit of intrigue between Chris Trevler and Jock Pera. Not too much still, because Connor Rota is, you know, the number three quarterback with the amount of reps he's been getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And so as much as fans think that Jock Pera is going to be the next coming of Peyton Manning, I mean, he's got to be out. First, he's got to be out Connor Rota. Then he's got to pass Chris Traveler, and then Mitch Leitner. So he's got three guys ahead of him with 3 weeks until the game.
Sure.
I mean, barring an injury, I don't see Mitch, unless he seriously regresses, which I haven't seen so far in camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen Mitch take a giant step forward, but that being said, I haven't seen any kind of a step back. So I see it being Leitner, Traveler, and then probably Pera. I think Pera probably would get the snaps before Rota, just knowing, even though Demery may be a little bit better than Pera and Rota right now, the plan is to redshirt him at all costs to try and build some depth. So okay. The talent is there with Demery, but it's going to be Mitch Leitner this season.
All right, so we've talked quite a bit about running backs previously. We kind of know what we have with Roderick Williams and Rodney Smith, but let's talk about some guys after them, some of these freshmen particularly the freshmen. Let's kind of focus on them a little bit.
Sure. So we have the Gophers anyway, do have 3 true freshmen on campus now, and James Johannesson, Shannon Brooks, and Jonathan Femi Cole. I would say out of the group, either Johannesson or Brooks are definitely farther along than Femi Cole at this stage. James has looked pretty good. He's looked pretty good.
Sure.
I mean, for a kid coming out of Fargo, North Dakota, and trying to transition to Big Ten football, I think that he may be pressing a bit. I think he's a little bit wide-eyed in the fact that, you know, he's trying to do so much and trying to impress all these coaches and trying to prove, you know, with that chip on his shoulder mentality, that just because I'm from Fargo, North Dakota, you know, I can play here in the Big Ten. And I think once he settles down a little bit and relaxes, he'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some issues staying on his feet through 4 days, and Till has been very vocal about him staying on his feet. As he hits the hole and he's trying to do too much, and he trips over feet in there and he falls down. And Till will be very vocal with him and encouraging him to stay on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
but the speed's there. He's a very well-built kid, you know, 6'1", 220 pounds. And for a guy who is that big, he's probably one of the fastest, you know, I'd say he's probably top 15, 20 fastest on the team. He's very fast. He's pretty elusive. He showed very good hands today on a swing pass out of the backfield. Demery threw him a swing pass, caught it off his shoelaces, made a guy miss, he got upfield. So for those people thinking that, you know, James is going to transition to linebacker a la David Cobb because you know, I don't see it happening. I think James is probably farthest along of the true freshman. I think he's done well enough that I think he warranted, you know, he hasn't moved it around at all. There's been no James Johannesson taking linebacker drills, you know, in individual time. So, James will be just fine. Shannon Brooks, he's the one from Georgia, the running back there.
Yeah.
He's a tough kid. I like his running style. He's a very aggressive runner. But what I mean by that is if you asked him whether he wanted to juke you or if he wanted to run you over, he's going to say, I'm going to run you over 100 out of 100 times. He loves the contact. He's very good in space, I would say. He just has to, you know, as all these freshmen for the most part are doing, they're just pressing right now. I think they're trying to adjust and trying to prove themselves to the staff and trying to prove to the guys that they're worth something. Because obviously all these freshmen are coming from somewhere where they were the guy, and now they come to a team where there's just a bunch of guys. Everybody was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to prove you're the guy again. But Shannon's done well as well. He's been getting the majority of the reps from the freshmen the last 2 days. So James got a lot of the freshmen or the reps with the third team the first and second day, and Shannon's got those two the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say they're farther along. As far as Demi Cole, I think there's about 95% chance and above that he redshirts this season.
Right. He's got to make the transition from Canadian football.
Yes, and I think that's a huge part of it. And fans will remember as well, Jonathan only got here a week ago today.
Oh, right, right.
I think he's actually been here 10 days or 7 days. I don't remember what it's been because he didn't get to practice with the team this summer because of the international rules. With admissions, they wouldn't let him in until after the summer semester.
Sure.
So he didn't get all the time, you know, in the summer workouts and doing captain's practice like James and Shannon did. He's got to try to come here, you know, learn the workouts, learn the playbook, you know, learn the coaching styles and all that. And I think he's just a little bit overwhelmed a little bit. Just physically, he's all, you know, he was cracked up to be. He's a very impressive person. It's just learning, like you said, going from Canadian football mm-hmm. in high school to American Big Ten football is a little bit of a concept, you know, he's trying to learn right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he's a pretty sure to redshirt at this stage, but James and Shannon, I mean, they look pretty good. So I don't think there was a miss on any of those three.
All right, let's transition to the offensive line. You know, there's already been reports of injury to Ben Lauer, who was injured, you know, a good portion of last year too. So there's already some juggling on what, you know, perceived to be the potential starting lineup there. How is the juggling going? And, you know, particularly who's looking good?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Ben Lauer is already injured. As he was, you know, going to be counted on to be a key left tackle in this Gopher offense. And, you know, Kill said after practice today that they got an MRI earlier today on Monday, and they should know the results tomorrow. But it's not about to be serious, which is very good news. But I'm very curious to see what happens in the next, you know, 5 or 6 days at left tackle if Lauer is out for the rest, you know, for another week or two, as Foster Bush was there today, and it didn't go well. Hank Ekpe, he ate him up, to be quite frank. I mean, Hank's first step was just too much for Foster, and he would get around the edge, and, you know, it would be a sack, quote-unquote, because you can't touch the quarterback.
Right.
You know, for those people listening, they're like, well, you know, Foster can just cut him during the season, and Hank's got that to worry about, so his first step isn't quick enough. I understand that. I'm taking that into account. But, I mean, say it's a 3rd-and-13 situation, and Hank is going to be coming around the edge. Blinder would have been, he'd be done in about 2.5 seconds. So,
yeah.
I think Foster is more well-suited at right tackle. That's where he's shown in the past that he's done well. So if Lauer's out, I would be in the favor of sliding Josh Campion back out to tackle where
sure.
he started his last 3 years at tackle. Josh is currently at right guard, I believe. So you would slide Josh from right guard to left tackle, or you can slide him to right tackle and move over Jonah Persig to left. I mean, there's a lot of options here because – the interior of this offensive line is definitely the strength right now. Between John Christensen healthy, Brian Bobeck healthy, and Josh Campion there, it's been, you know, during one-on-ones and in the offensive line portions of things, those three have been very good. There's been a lot more holes I've noticed when the first team offensive line goes against the first team defense that I can remember from previous years
sure.
in fall camp so early on, which is encouraging to me.
Because the defense typically is ahead, right? They're usually a bit ahead of the offense often.
Yes. Yes, they are. And I think they still are this year. The point I'm trying to make is usually in past years or the past 2-3 years especially, this offensive line usually takes a while to get cohesive, get gelling together. But it seems, like these three on the interior really have something going right now. Christensen, I think, is very close to 100% healthy, if he's not 100%. Brian Bobek has been very good since the spring, and that's carried over into the fall. I think that, if he stays healthy, which has been a little bit of a concern for him, he's absolutely going to be the starting center, and there's no doubt about that. And then with Josh Campion, obviously there's not many 24, 25-year-old, starting Big Ten offensive linemen that have started the last 39 games. So those three are very solid. I'm content with them. Plus, I believe there's depth behind them between Joe Bjorklund, who is also an option there. If Campion does slide out the left tackle, you plug in Joe Bjorklund at right guard, who's another redshirt senior, and you're good to go. But tackle is a little bit concerning to me right now. And, with Lauer out, it's going to be interesting because today Quinn Oseland, true freshman from Springfield, Illinois, was your second and third team starting left tackle there.
Sure.
And so obviously it's been, something Lime Grover wants to see, as he was giving him, second and third team reps, trying to get him as many reps as possible. I think he's trying to get him as many reps so he can see it on tape, so they can, break it down. What does he need to do better? What is he, trying to get him ready that if, Campion slides out or Perzik slides over and there's another injury, I think Quinn's the guy. I mean, he's a different kind of – he's so advanced for a true freshman that I've seen the last couple of years, and I think that's because of his coaching that he received. And he's a very technical player. He's very strong. And he's also very athletic. I think his athleticism helps him out a lot there compared to some of these guys on the offensive line. But it'll be just very interesting to see what they do here at left tackle. Maybe Lauer's back tomorrow and all is well. But it seems like each season here he gets nicked up during it. And, I don't think Foster Bush is the solution after what I saw today. I understand, very small sample size, just one day. But it didn't go well. I mean, there's just no other way to say it.
Yeah.
So do you slide Perzik over to left, give him a shot there against Hank, put Foster at right? Do you slide Josh over to left tackle, plug in Joe? It's going to be very intriguing. It's something that I think needs to be shown on tape, because left tackle is going to be key for Minnesota, because they need to keep Leidner on his feet. That's his backside. And if Leidner's constantly worrying about if he's going to get blindsided by a defensive end, it's going to be skittish, and that's not going to go well for anyone on offense. So that's a very key position that needs to be solidified here soon.
Right. All right, let's close it out with tight ends and receivers. Obviously you've been on the record saying you think KJ May is going to kind of have a breakout year. He'll be kind of the go-to guy, at least from a receiving perspective. Outside of that, a lot's unproven. Brandon Lingan played extensively at tight end last year, but Duke Onwuanyi's coming off an injury. So everything's kind of up in the air. Outside of KJ May, out of that tight end wide receiver group, who's stood out to you so far?
Yeah, I think, through the first few days here at fall camp, there's still no doubt in my mind KJ is going to be the leader of this receiving corps. He's been very confident. He's been very vocal. I mean, there's not one guy on defense of these, defensive backs he's not scared to go against or try to get open against. And I think that light bulb that went on towards the latter half of last season and in the spring has carried over into the fall, and it's very good. As KJ went on record yesterday saying he's trying to have 60 catches, 8 touchdowns, and he's trying to lead the team in targets. I think that's absolutely doable. I think he's going to be a target hog this fall. But at tight end, to replace Max, it's going to be a plethora of guys. It's going to be tight end by committee per se. Lincoln Plezik's a little injured right now, but that's not too much of a concern. I think even Kills and Lime Grover said it after practice so far here. They know what Plezik can do. I mean, they're going to rest him. He's the run blocking tight end in this offense, 275 pounds. It's going to be on 85% of the plays. Fans aren't going to appreciate him enough because he's not going to catch passes and all he does is run, run block. So the guy that I think has had, you know, one of the better fall camps of these tight ends is Brandon Lingan.
Right.
He's been getting a lot of – yes.
He's coming off injury too, right?
Yes. He suffered a broken collarbone back in the spring. He seems to be fully healed now. You know, he – if you're going to look appearance-wise and, you know, body type, Max and Brandon are very much alike. I think Max was more explosive and more of a playmaker. But Brandon is still just a true sophomore. He's been getting a lot of reps with the first teams. And he's a very solid player. I think he's just solid, you know, in the run blocking facet of the game, pass catching facet of the game. You know, he's versatile. He can play Y. He can play H-back. And I think that's a very big benefit to him. I think he's going to see a lot of time. Duke Dongyanwu was somebody that, you know, he hasn't made a huge impact so far. I'm not concerned about it yet, as I think he's still trying to, you know, gain strength a little bit coming back from that ACL tear from last season. He made one of the catches at camp today. Liner's rolling right. Dongyanwu was coming from left to right across the field, and Duke put out his right hand, flipped it around, somehow caught it one hand. It didn't make any sense on how he caught this. Put out his right hand, caught it, went upfield. It was drew a bunch of oohs and ahs from us on the sidelines. Like, how did he just catch that? But so, you know, the athletic ability is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for him putting it together at H, you know, to become, you know, more of a physical H-back, not afraid to meet guys in the hole, not afraid to block downfield. I think that's something he needs to work on still. But for a playmaking guy, I think he's going to contribute. I think the extremely giant tight end Nate Wozniak is finally going to get reps this season. He's definitely put on weight the last two seasons, and I think he's at a very good weight now. I think he's 275. And you're going to – I mean, fans who go to the scrimmage this weekend are going to look at him and still think he's thin. And I just don't know how much more weight he can put on. I think he's at a solid weight now. He's still very fluid. You know, Reeves has been, you know, complimenting his, you know, run-blocking abilities. And with, you know, him being such a huge frame, obviously at 6'10", I think seeing him in the red zone, as they haven't done too much in the red zone for work so far in camp, but I think he's going to be very much used in there. Jerry Gibson's another guy who I'm, you know, he had a very good day today, and I was excited about it. He's a playmaking guy. I think he's put on about 10 pounds since spring. He's probably 240 pounds now. He looks a lot more solid. He's got good hands. You know, sometimes his hands can be a little bit suspect, but for the most part, he's got good hands. He's got good speed. It's a mismatch type. Who am I missing here? I feel like there's like one more guy I'm leaving out, and I'm going to get a bunch of comments about this.
This specifically being tight end, right?
Yes, just specifically a tight end.
Well, probably Colton Beebe, or is he more of an H or more of a fullback?
Colton is still behind Miles Thomas and Tyler Hartman right now, so he's third string H-back.
Sure.
But again, he looks very good for a true freshman kid. I mean, if he's needed on special teams, absolutely the kid can. He's freaking jacked. 260 pounds and he moves very well.
Right.
But again, where I think Colton's going to start thriving more is once they can, you know, meet guys in the hole and really start to play man-to-man football, that's where Colton thrives.
Sure.
So between trying to replace Max, I think Lingan, Anyanwu, you know, Jerry Gibson, Nate Wozniak, and maybe even some Noah Scarver as well. You know, Ryan Grover said after practice yesterday that, you know, Reeves has really thought he's done some things well. He just needs to maintain his consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throw in Plesic there for your run-blocking tight end. There's going to be a plethora of guys I think you're going to see there. Plus, you throw in fullback Miles Thomas, and it'll be good. So, I think it'll be fine there. It won't be tight, you know, Max Williams type production. It's tough to replace, you know, arguably the best tight end in the Gophers history, but at tight end, it'll be just fine.
Sure. So what about receiver other than KJ?
Yeah. These guys have actually surprised me in a good way so far in fall camp. I mean, one-on-ones in the spring between the wide receivers and the defensive backs, it wasn't pretty, folks. I mean, the defensive backs, for the most part, won. I mean, most of the reps, they were more physical. You know, they knew the routes, and they could just jam the receivers, put them off. And it was end of story. I mean, but that hasn't been the case so far in fall camp, especially with how good the secondary is, which is surprising. I mean, guys like Eric Carter, redshirt sophomore now, he was highly touted coming out of high school. You know, fans were thinking, when are we ever going to see something from him?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gained a lot of confidence in the last 48 hours. His route running has been very good. He's been explosive out of his cuts. He's been working with the first team a lot, and I think he's deserved it. He beat, I believe it was Jalen Myrick, on a long 70-yard touchdown from Leiner today, where Leiner put it right on the money, stride for stride. Myrick was on Carter's hip. Carter extended his hands, perfectly placed, and it was good. So I think Eric Carter has been surprising to me. As I didn't see a lot of out of him in the spring. I mean, he was getting a lot of reps, but I was kind of just he was okay, you know. But I think he's turned it up a notch this fall. I think he's going to see a lot of things. Jeff Jones, he's his transition from running back to receiver in the spring, you know, for that second half when he was full-time receiver, it went well. He learned it pretty well. And I think that's carried over here into the fall. I think, you know, I said this on Gopher Digest today in my practice notes that I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Jones stays at receiver for the rest of his Gopher career.
Sure.
I talked about this with, you know, one of the sources here at camp, and he was, you know, we were talking about it, and he's like, you know, he's transitioned very well there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happened either. I mean, especially with Minnesota mm-hmm. having four, you know, freshman running backs on scholarship, plus they're going to sign another one in 2016. I mean, there's just a logjam of talent there. We're a receiver. It's wide open. And Jeff has done very well in his transition. His depth is very football smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very high football IQ. He learns very quickly. He's got good cuts. I mean, he set Jalen Myrick up. I mean, I feel like I'm picking on Jalen when he's actually had a pretty good camp. But he set Jalen Myrick up on a nasty slant route where he just left Jalen in the dust right there. And his teammates made sure he heard about it. He just burned Jalen on a slant inside. Easy 10-plus yard game. I mean, you just need to find a way to get Jeff the ball 5 or 10, you know, touches a game, whether that is at running back, where Jeff hasn't seen anything there. There's been zero reps running back for Jeff. He's been full-time receiver. Eric, Jeff Jones, and then you have guys like Isaiah Gentry, Melvin Holland, and Desmond Gant, who I am telling you, I'm going to keep preaching this until Desmond Gant graduates. But if he can just, you know, get consistently together, my God, is he going to be such a deep threat. He is, in one-on-ones and in team,
mm-hmm.
he is so physical and he's so fast. Again, the man is 6'3", 215, 225. You know, not 220 pounds. Okay. He's one of the top 10 fastest on the team. He has a 42 inch vertical, which is the number one on this team. He has all the physical talent in the world. And he's gotten steps on guys in the last 3 days, you know, for big plays. The issue is he'll catch it 50 yards downfield, run for 5, and then he'll get stripped. So if he can secure the ball and just run through that, you know, last poke there by the defensive back, he is going to be such a deep threat. And it's just, I want him to put it together so bad because of the physical talent there, but he just needs to be consistent. He needs to be consistent with his hands as well. Melvin Holland was a guy with KJ out today that received a lot of first-team reps. Coach Anderson and Coach Kill have been on him a lot just because, he needs to work on the little things, you know, like finishing a drill, you know, running through the contact, securing the ball, running with the ball high and tight, just those little things, because his route running is very good. He's very good on his cuts. He's very explosive out of his cuts. He's good at setting the defensive back up to where he wants it to be so he can make a play on the ball. He needs to, you know, just keep working on the little things. Isaiah Gentry, he was a little bit nicked up today, but he's a pretty good deep threat. He's put on some weight. It's just, I don't expect these receivers to be necessarily a huge step forward from last fall. I think it'll be a tiny step forward, if not the same, which is not you know, terrific news, especially with, you know, fans wanting Leiter to take the next step.
Right.
The issue is, I think, you know, the Gopher wide receivers are more talented. Here's your issue, though. KJ May and Drew Olatarski, to an extent, are the only ones who've seen significant, you know, game time.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, another six or seven wide receivers. You know, Jeff Jones, Melvin Holland, Isaiah Gentry, Desmond Gant, Eric Carter. You have, you know, five just off the top of your head that are going to be expected to contribute this fall. Here's the issue. They've played like a combined, you know, 20 snaps in the game. I mean, they have the talent. They just need to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to, obviously, as redshirt freshmen and redshirt sophomores, they're going to take some lumps. You know, they're going to learn a thing or two going against these guys in a game, you know, what they can get away with, what they can't. It's just, for fans who want Leiter to take that next step, well, he loses Max Williams, and he doesn't get too much better at, you know, receiver with all these young guys needing to get game experience. So it may be a little bit frustrating at times. I can see that. I mean, the talent's there. It's just these guys need to play, and that's what they're going to do this year. And I think, you know, setting up Leiter for a potential, you know, better season. So, you know, is the talent there at receiver? Yes, it's young and it needs game experience. Is the talent there at tight end? Yes, again, it's young and it needs game experience. Guys like Brandon Langan, he played, you know, his true freshman year last year. Duke Onyanwu didn't play, coming off a major knee injury. You know, Nate Wozniak hasn't played. You know, Lincoln Plezic, he's going to be a run-blocking tight end. Noah Scarver hasn't played. So, again, you have all your, and especially your running back as well. You know, Roderick's played three seasons, but Rodney Smith, who I expect even, you know, to, as the season goes on, still to take more reps away from Roderick, he hasn't played yet. So you have at every skill position that needs to, you know, help Leiter get to that next level, they haven't played.
Right.
They need reps.
Yeah, and particularly the one thing that you do have experience is the offensive line, but they were kind of inconsistent pass blocking, right? So if you're going to take this natural progression and this next step, especially at the quarterback position and the throwing game, you know, it's a blend of all phases of the game. It's on the wide receiver, it's on the quarterbacks, but this offensive line additionally needs to make a step forward, especially, you know, up the middle of the pass rush, directly up the middle.
Yes, if Campion, Bolbeck, and Christensen stay healthy throughout this entire season, on the interior there, I think that's a very big thing, as there, you know, the interior of the offensive line last year wasn't very good. If Lauer can get healthy and he can handle the speed rush, he and Perzic have had issues with the speed rush in the past. If they can, you know, work on that and take just a little step forward with those guys, I think, you know, as, you know, these receivers, these tight ends, and these running backs, you know, start to get reps and start to take some lumps, if this offensive line can hold up around Leiter and just make, you know, make him feel comfortable, I think that this offense can take a little bit of a step forward this fall. It's still going to be a very much a run-heavy offense, but, you know, with guys like Gentry and you know, Jeff Jones and KJ on the outside, and then you have guys like Lingen, Miles Thomas, you know, Duke Onyanwu, who just – all these guys need reps. So it's just, you know, you have to temper expectations a little bit. The talent is there. It just needs to play.
Right.
And so – And we'll see how things keep progressing.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're like 4 days into camp, so there's some time for this to evolve and come together, and it's going to be a process even throughout the season, because, you know, they are young at the skill position in particular, and it's not like those guys step in and contribute from day one. You know, it usually takes skill players a little bit more of an adjustment. Well, technically offensive linemen, that's because they have to grow. So,
right.
So it'll be interesting. It's going to be an evolution, and it's what's going to make this this interesting, or this season particularly interesting, because hopefully as they're getting down to the end of the season, they're just getting better and better, and they've kind of ridden that defense, and now they can come together and be a more cohesive, balanced team rather than relying solely on their defense to bail them out.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's just, you know, so many things, or so many guys. I mean, I think we listed 8 or 9, 10 guys who are expected to be big-time contributors or are contributors to some facet this year. You know, they haven't played yet. Haven't
right.
played in a, you know, and they have to start out with TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be shell shock for some of these guys. So, I think as the season goes on, you'll see this offense start to, you know, really start humming a little bit more. Because I think earlier in the season, there's going to be a lot of guys trying to figure out how to play college football. Is that, you know, they haven't, you know, played on a Saturday yet. So, like you said, we're mm-hmm. only 4 days into camp. I mean, a lot is going to happen and will continue to happen from, you know, now here on August 10th all the way up until September 3rd. So more guys are going to, you know, start to separate themselves. More guys are starting to get more reps and, you know, accept their roles and keep on moving. So, you know, offensively, again, you know, for Leinart to really take the next step, I mean, I think we've talked about it tonight. You know, the offensive line really needs to hold up, especially his tackle position, so he can stay comfortable. And obviously, the skill position guys are unproven.
Uh-huh.
I mean, again, the talent's there. It just needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see how things keep progressing here. But it's there. It's just young. I mean, I can't reiterate that enough. It just needs to play. And there's no way to really do that. And just, you know, there's going to be a couple of lumps taken here and there. But it's exciting. It's exciting just to know that there is talent there. So. We'll see how things keep progressing.
Yeah, well, and it's nice that football's just back, period, so it'll be fun to watch.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're wrapping up here the Gopher, you know, offensive thing, offensive podcast here. We should be doing the defensive one tomorrow night after the fifth practice of the season here. So, you know, with Gopher Gridiron Raider here, I encourage you to, you know, check out Gopher Digest as well. You know, since, you know, fall camp is open here, we have, you know, tons of pictures, tons of videos, and the practice reports going up daily. So, you know, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, I encourage you to head over to gopherdigest.com, check out what we have to offer. Obviously, we'd love to have you. It's only less than $9 a month. So, you know, as you're starting to get that football itch, I'd love for you to come onto the boards, talk with me. You know, I'll answer every question you have. So it'll be a very good time here for the Gopher football team here heading forward.